Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. This is part two this morning of what we began last week, this series, Where Are You? Where Are You? Romans 11:29 says the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Say irrevocable. That means they're irreversible, they're unalterable, they're unchangeable. What is the call of God on your life? Do you know that you're called? Do you know that God is calling out your name? That God has called you personally into a relationship with Him? Well, that call is irreversible. I love the way the Holy Spirit has been taking this service already this morning, this meeting, this time together already this morning. He's been declaring over us that He is for us. That He is for us. He is not against us, but that He is for us. And that's why His calling is irreversible, unalterable, unchangeable, immutable, final, binding, permanent, carved in stone. And the opposite is temporary. Thank God His call is not a temporary call this morning. It's an irrevocable, irreversible, unalterable, unchangeable, immutable, final, binding, permanent, and carved in stone call. In the Amplified, it says it this way: He never withdraws them when once they are given, and He does not change His mind about those to whom He gives His grace or to whom He sends His call. In the ERV version, it says God never changes His mind about the people He calls. You're glad He's not changed His mind about you today. He never changes His mind about the people He calls. He never decides to take back the blessings He has given them. Come on. Some of us had parents that gave us a toy and we misbehaved, they took it back. It's like we were just waiting for them to get, when they gave it one hand, we were waiting for the other hand to come and take it away again. That's not the nature of God. It's not the character of God. God doesn't punish you by taking away His blessings. Now you can move out of the place where His blessings act in your life the way they're supposed to act. But that's down to you, never down to Him. That's not how God does things. He never takes back the blessings once He has given them. How often do we misrepresent God to our children? No wonder our children struggle to relate to God. No wonder they struggle to receive His love. No wonder they struggle to hear. Some of us adult children in here this morning still struggle to hear that God is for us because our parents misrepresented Him to us. If you want to find a way to punish your child, find another way. Give them something to do instead of taking away what they're doing. Move them forward, not backwards. God's a forward God. He's never a backward God. Hallelujah. That's a wee bonus for you. Fresh down the pipe. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Who knows, many, if not all of us here today, have experienced God's call to come to Him, to know Him. We've felt Him calling us to come and to live in a relationship with Him, to experience His salvation in all of its fullness. And we responded to the call to come. Some of us maybe 50 years ago or more in here today. Maybe some of us just in the last year or the last couple of years. Responded to that call to come. And at that point, we fully expected that call to come to result in the commission to go, and the sooner the better. We were full of zeal. Who remembers this? Come on, we were full of zeal, and we fully expected to be involved in saving and changing the world. Come on. Who remembers that? That first zeal that you experienced when you first responded to that call to come into relationship with God, you expected, fully expected to be involved in changing the world. You were going to start with your family, your friends, your work colleagues, and you were going to see them all saved. Well, I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Has that initial zeal remained and has it grown in your life? Because if it hasn't, then God is asking you what He asked Adam way back in the beginning. Where are you? Where are you? Because He hasn't changed His mind. But what changed yours? Remember, your mind is where you think. And the Bible says, as a man thinks, that's who he is. So your thoughts become who you... Your thoughts determine who you become. It begins with how you think. Who you think you are will usually determine where you are. who you are and where you are. If you're not in the place of dominion you were created to occupy, then who knows, this morning there's room for realignment, and that's what we've been looking at last week, and that's what we're going to continue to look at this morning. God is calling us back into a place of being realigned with his kingdom purpose, because his call is as real today as it was when we first heard it. He's never changed his mind about it. Alignment simply means arrangement in correct or appropriate relative positions. The Father and the Son in perfect alignment. That's what Jesus walked in, perfect alignment with his Father every day, with the will of his Father. All that he was concerned about was the will of his Father, because he knew his Father's will was always good will. Only one point in his life did he begin in his flesh to resist the will of the Father, and that was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he went through that so you and I would never have to go through it. At that point, and what that only at that point, at that one point only did he say, if it's possible, let your will change in regard to me. But nevertheless, if it's not possible, not my will, I refuse to move out of alignment. Not my will, but your will be done. Hallelujah. Now, a lot of people take that prayer and they twist it into all kinds of, and they use it and apply it in all the wrong situations. They ask when someone, they're praying for someone's healing, if it's your will. That's a bad prayer. It's always his will to heal, according to his word. It's always his will to save. It's always his will to heal. It's always his will to deliver. It's always his will to prosper. Everywhere Jesus went, he went about doing good and bringing healing to all, say all, who were oppressed of the devil. Alignment means arrangement in correct or appropriate relative positions, a position of agreement or alliance. The last time we saw that God's unwilling all was to revoke his calling. And we saw that even when Adam fell right back at the beginning, God was unwilling to revoke the calling on his life. And because of Adam's willingness to come out of hiding and be realigned, it kept God's purpose alive in the earth. As God began with Adam and his wife, the first human beings, the work of restoration. Because he refused to revoke his call. Hallelujah. He refused to give up on his plan. And then we saw how Noah's willingness to be realigned brought salvation to his whole family, and potentially through his family to the whole human race. Let's go to Genesis 8 a minute. Hallelujah. You glad you're called this morning? I want to hear from people this morning, God just kind of zoned in a little bit more specific in their lives this morning with regards to their geographical position. Who's got GPS on their phone? Amazing thing, isn't it? Wherever you are, you know, it's incredible. It's just hallelujah. Remember down in Glasgow last year and we were looking for a gas engineer. So I just, and my phone, gas engineer, and boom, brought up a bunch of gas engineers just right next to where we were. Down there in Partick. Amazing. Hallelujah. But God's always had that technology. Amen. Do you know why that's why we've got it? Because he had it. And it's taken us a lot longer to access that technology because of sin. Because most of the technological advances have come about through people trying to find new weapons to annihilate one another. Because people have turned against one another, and if we just stayed together in alignment with God's purpose for the earth, that we'd walk in unity and love and blessing one another, glory to God, then all of that technology would have come to us much faster. Hallelujah. But God's eye is able to scan the whole earth second by second, real time. If you think there's a lot of CCTV in Stornoway, you should see what's in heaven. You know, they say people in the United Kingdom are the most filling people on the planet. Glory to God. You don't even have to go to Hollywood. You're a star. Hallelujah. But God's GPS, God's CCTV is way beyond anything we've managed to come up with yet. But Genesis chapter 8, it says in verse 20, it says, Noah built an altar. After coming out of the ark, what was the first thing he did? He built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean, say clean. Took of every clean animal and of every clean, say clean. Of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Isn't it amazing the Lord's got a sense of smell? The Lord smelled. That's why you've got one. You see because he sees. You hear because he hears. You smell because he smells. You taste because he tastes. Because he created you in his image and his likeness. Hallelujah. There's nothing better than coming home at night and smelling something, cooking that, you know, that's your favorite. Amen. Come on. One of the bad things is when you've got it in your head somehow or other, you're having such and such, and then you get to the door and you smell something else. You think, I thought we were having, oh, I'm sorry. But God smelled a soothing aroma. Why? Because we were created for worship. Amen. We were created for community. See, worship, you understand, worship is just, it's fellowship, it's relationship at its highest level. It's unobstructed. There's nothing in the way. Come on. And the first thing Noah did when he came out of the ark was he built an altar. He worshipped. He entered into that place of worship. He acknowledged his relationship with God. He brought things into right relationship. He aligned himself with his God, with his Creator, with his Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. God smelled it. This is the way I like it. This is just the way I like it. It pleased the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. See, worship keeps us in alignment. Worship keeps us in that place. Remember, worship is when we respond to what God says with, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. He says, I am. He said, yes, you are. I am your salvation. Yes, you are. I am your righteousness. Yes, you are. I am your healer. Yes, you are. I am your deliverer. Yes, you are. I am your prosperer. Yes, you are. That's exactly who you are. Then in verse 1 of chapter 9 it says, so God blessed Noah. See, God blessed Noah. God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And then in verse 7 it says, and as for you, be fruitful and multiply. In fact, at the end of verse 6 it says, for in the image of God he made man, and as for you, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly. Say abundantly. Amen. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it. The blessing always results in multiplication. God's heart is always to bless. And the blessing always flows down through alignment with his throne, Father to Son. Who knows? That's divine order. It's divine order. And in a relationship with him, it's divine order in the family, it's divine order in the church. Paul said, you may have many teachers, but you do not have many fathers. You may have many instructors, but you do not have many fathers. That's divine order. That's why Jesus taught us the prayer of alignment. When the disciples were wondering, how come his prayers work? How come his prayers are effective? We've been praying since we were wee boys. We learned all kinds of prayers. I mean, I remember the prayer I learned. This is, I lay down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should, what an awful prayer. If I should die before I wake, no wonder you couldn't sleep at night with the light off. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take it. You know, I was hanging on to it with both hands. I was staying awake so he wouldn't take it. You know what I'm saying? Okay, Lord, you can have it, but not yet. You know what I'm saying? Woody Allen said, I'm not afraid of dying. I just don't want to be there when it happens. People say, are you afraid of dying? No, but I have an aversion to death because it's not part of my destiny. I'm not afraid of it, but I have an aversion to it. And so should you. Come, some Christians treat death like their friend. It's the enemy, the last enemy. Don't ever treat it like your friend. All these people are waiting to escape. We're not here to escape. We're here to change the world. We're here to transform everything. Hallelujah. To make disciples of all the nations. To teach them what it means to have a relationship with God and allow the blessing to flow into the nations that are suffering with famine and drought and war. Come on. Let the kingdom come. Let His will be done. Let every barren place flourish. Let every desert bloom. Come on! That's what the blessing does. Jesus taught us a prayer of alignment, Our Father. See, I want to tell you this morning, anything that limits or hinders or opposes, people say, this calling God daddy business must stop. I won't tell you anything that limits or hinders. But if you're calling Him glibly daddy, and I tell you, but you know that He's your daddy. Anything that limits or hinders or opposes our relationship with God as our Father is nothing but religion. And religion doesn't bless anything. Oh, but don't it says in James chapter 1, verse 27, that pure religion, you know, the better translation of that is worship. Worship. God's not into religion. He never was. Doesn't even have a pure religion. It's worship. God's about worship. He's not about worship because He has an ego problem. He's about worship because that's how we stay in relationship. Because that's what keeps us in alignment. Hallelujah. I think it's a great thing to see a little boy worship his daddy. Come on. My kids for years thought I was able to do anything. That I knew everything and I could do anything. It was quite a sad day when they discovered that wasn't exactly true. You know what I mean? You would teach them, you know, you get them up on the fifth step, the sixth step of the stairs, and you say, jump, I'll catch you, you know what I'm saying? And they try it when they're 17, it's a bit different, you know? Or one day they catch you off guard, you're just walking past, and they go, daddy, and they jump, and you're like, whoa, come on! Well, you get to roll around the floor together, you know what I'm saying? That'll do you. Hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. Your name is set apart in my life above every other name. Your name is worthy to be worshipped, to be honored. I cover your name. I protect your name. I won't let anyone speak against your name. I'm not going to let them speak about my God like that. I'll defend your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See, that's what happened in the next generation of Noah's family. Noah's son, Ham, uncovered his father. And so he moved out of alignment with the blessing, and he brought a curse on his son, Canaan. What was his name? Keep that in mind. I've noticed something over, I don't know, probably over months and over years, but it's become maybe more apparent to me just recently, or maybe it's just become back to my attention again. But I've noticed that if you're continually, as you are, hearing the message of the blessing, you will either become immune to the effects of the curse, or you will become immune to the message. And so you'll become immune to the blessing itself. I've had people say to me over the years, why are we healing, 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 healing? All we ever hear about is healing. Well, is still sickness still affecting your life? You need to come, you need to hear about this healing and this till you become immune to the effects of sickness in your life because it's part of the blessing. I tell you, but you can either become immune to the effects of the curse and every manifestation of that curse in your life, or you will become immune to the message. The Bible calls it hardening your heart. The Bible says today if you hear His voice, do not, God's voice always comes to bless you. Where are you, Adam? Come on out till I stiffen you. Come on out till I take this baseball bat to your hard-hearted backside. Come on, no, come on out, Adam. I want to bless you. I want to bless you, Adam. Where are you? Why are you not in the place of alignment with the blessing? Where have you, why have you moved? Where are you, Adam? Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Why? So they could nail them out to a cross each? No. So that, glory to God, he could reintroduce them to the Father. Hallelujah. He came to people who were hiding in sin, who were hiding in places of darkness, who were hiding in the most awful places, who'd find themselves bound up with the most awful sin and all of the effects of that sin. And he came and he searched them out and he reintroduced them to their Heavenly Father. Oh, hallelujah, because his heart is always to bless. Always to bless. Oh, I tell you, if you keep hearing this message of healing, it will either make you immune to the effects of sickness or it will make you immune to the message itself. Same goes for prosperity. I'll tell you, there's a lot of people that become immune to the message of prosperity. I've heard them, I've seen them. I've seen the effects. But God designed this message to make you immune to the effects of the curse. Because only the blessing is the antidote. Today, if you hear his voice of blessing, you can harden your heart against it and remove yourself out of alignment with that blessing. Or you can say, thank you, Lord. Bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. Bless me, Father. Hallelujah. I receive your blessing into my life. He always calls you back into alignment with his blessing. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This year of superabundant grace, I think we need to hear this. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 1 says this: we then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold now, say now. Now is the accepted time. Behold now, say now. Behold now is the day of salvation. Then in verse 11 it says this: O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not. O Stornoweegians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now in return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, because of that truth, because of that reality, every time you see a therefore, you need to acknowledge what it's there for. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate. And I've heard this twisted, and I've heard it used and abused, but I tell you, it's still right there in the Word of God. Hallelujah. And I want to try and help you this morning understand what it means. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. Say unclean. And I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. What is the unclean thing? I want to tell you this morning in case you haven't figured it out yourself already. The unclean thing is religion. Because religion will never allow you to live in the now of your salvation. It has you looking back to the glory days. Come on. I want to tell you, if you spend more of your time looking back to the glory days, you're stuck in religion. And it's robbing you of the now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of your salvation. Now is the day for you to experience the glory of God in all of its fullness. Now is the day for you to stand in the blessing of God, or Rabba Shaka, and declare his faithfulness and his goodness, that he's, come on, blessed you with everything that heaven has. Glory to God. Religion has you looking back to the glory days, or forward to some future glory day. Come on. I won't mention the R word. I told you, I realized it recently, the only revival I'm against is the kind that people are waiting for. I don't have any problem if you want to call if you want to term it revival, when thousands of people are getting born again, healed, delivered, the power of God is moving in the midst of a nation or in the midst of a people. Glory to God. I don't, if you want to call that revival, I don't have a problem with that. It's the kind of revival I have a problem with is the kind people are waiting for. Because now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time for you to stand and experience the life that God has for you in all of its fullness. Oh, haraba shakabo. Religion will have you looking back, or will have you looking for it. It's an unclean thing. And he says, you come out from among that mess. You just stand in the place where you know that God is your Father. And he'll never be more of your Father, and he'll never be less of your Father. And if he's your Father, he wants to bless you with everything that he has right now. Just as much as you can handle. And he knows how much you can handle. Hallelujah. And he'll bless you with as much as you can handle. Glory to God. Come on. God's inviting us to abandon religion and experience the now of the Father. Jesus said, give us today. He said, pray this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us today. What day? Today, because today is the day of salvation. Today is the day when I need his provision. Today is the day when I need to walk in his health and his strength. Not tomorrow. Not looking back to yesterday when things were better, supposedly. Give us today everything that pertains to life. He says he's given us everything, all things that pertain to life and to godliness. Give us righteousness, healing, deliverance. See, Jesus said, the bread. Remember when that woman, the Syrophoenician woman, he said, it's not right to give the children's bread to the little dogs. What was the bread he was speaking about that day? Healing and deliverance. Bread is the staple of life in almost every civilization. Come on. And he has provided bread. He said, I am the bread of life. Healing, deliverance, it's all part of our daily bread. Hallelujah. Remember when we respond to the call to come into alignment with the Father's blessing flows to us and through us. And it flows to those that we go to. Amen? Those who we interact with, those who get close enough to us, those who we get close enough to. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, people, anyone who tells you that you can't know that God is your Father and he's your loving Father, and it's not just a term and it's not just a religious word, glory to God, but it's a reality, and you have a relationship with him and you walk with him and you talk with him every day and you expect him to show up in your life every single day with blessing, glory to God. You just, if anybody says, wah, 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 you just say, I'm sorry, I can't touch that unclean mess. Noah built an altar with every clean bird, with every clean animal, glory to God. Don't let that stuff pollute your worship. Don't let any of that, these doubts get into your mind. Don't let even other people who call themselves believers, but the Bible calls them unbelievers, mess with your head and take you away from that reality and move you and shift you from that simple truth that he's your Father and you're his Son. Forever. Forever. Nothing changes that relationship. You might move away and you might step into a place of where you're not experiencing the fullness of his blessing anymore, but you just need to get realigned and you're back. Jesus gave us that very clearly in that parable he gave us about the father with the two sons. All that boy had to do was come home and he was back. And he wasn't just back to where he'd been, he was back in a better place. Oh, hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 11. Hallelujah. He blessed this morning. I ain't brought you in here this morning to bore you. I don't expect you to be bored this morning. I didn't come here to try and bore you with information. I came to bring you life this morning. I'm telling you, you step out in this week. You step in this today. Well, your life will change forever. Some of you have been fussing and cussing for too long. Some of you have been looking back with religious hee-haw stuff for too long. Some of you are looking forward to religious hee-haw stuff for too long. Go by Shaka, it's time to start living in the now. Hallelujah. Stop. God, this message will make you immune to every manifestation of the curse, or you'll become immune to the message itself, and it will cut you off from the life that God has for you and the blessing that he longs to pour into your life and through your life into the lives of others. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You can take every other manifestation of religion, you can stuff it where the light don't shine. Hallelujah. Any place that applies to that you choose. That sounds a bit rough, that's because it is. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. This is basically a summary of Abraham's journey of faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out. What did he do? He obeyed. Say, he obeyed. When he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. And by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now according to Genesis chapter 11, Abraham's journey began when he left Ur. With his father Terah. They left Ur of the Chaldeans, it says, to go to Canaan. But they stopped in a place called Haran. Now the people of Ur were moon worshippers. They had become misaligned somehow over the generations from the worship of the Creator, and they were now worshipping creation. I don't know why they didn't choose the sun. Maybe they were too humble, eh? Or it was close. The moon was closer, or something. I don't know. Going by, I knew a woman that travelled 400 miles round trip every Sunday so she could be where God wanted her to be, where she knew God had placed her. Himbarabu shakabasoko. Amen. She didn't just say, "Oh well, there's a wee church next door. I'll just go there." 400 miles. I knew another guy. Bless God, that did a 6-hour round trip every day, every Sunday, in the south of Scotland, from the south of Scotland up to the central belt, so that he could be where God told him to be. Because he knew that was his place of alignment. That was his appointed place. That was the place where the life flowed to him and would flow through him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Another wee bonus for you. They were worshipping creation through a fabricated system of religion. But even so, Ur was a place, apparently in the 1920s, there was a man went in there, did some excavations, an archaeologist. He discovered that it was a place of high civilization. And his excavations revealed that the average middle-class person lived in a house with between 10 and 20 rooms. They had a guest room with a separate toilet. They had a private chapel in each house. There was a school where the children were taught reading, writing, and arithmetic, including multiplication and division tables. They even did square and cube root. I still don't know what that is. And so at a natural level, come on, hear me this morning, folks, at a natural level, life in Ur wouldn't have been too bad at all. Would it have been hard to leave? The answer is, yes, come on, I like plumbing, don't know about you. Come on, that was one of the downsides of camping, you know what I'm saying? Bring a shovel. If you have any concern whatsoever for other people. The country has enough pancakes as it is. Thankfully supplied by herbivores. We won't go any further down that road. I remember on this island when there was chemical toilets in the houses. They looked like nice houses, but the chemical toilets smell bad. And you never did want to ask them, where do you empty it? Until one sad day in the middle of the night. How can it be the middle of the night during the day? Well, that's when you're out playing without a care in the world. And you discover where they empty it. Who ever saw Slumdog Millionaire? Come on, the classic scene in that movie, if you've seen it, you know it. I won't tell you anything. I like plumbing. Was it hard to leave Ur of the Chaldeans? Yeah, you bet it was. But I want to tell you this morning, see, Ur of the Chaldeans for us here, coming down here several thousand years later, represents religion as usual. A comfortable life and a comfortable place until trouble strikes and there's nothing in your religion to combat that trouble. Religion as usual. Christian religion as usual, I'm talking about. You live, you die, and all of it, whatever happens, is accepted as the will of your particular deity, whoever he may be. All of your worship is a one-way street. There's not much expectation for your God to help you in a supernatural way. Although you acknowledge his help in a general way, but if it wasn't for God, you know. Come on. That's religion. It's nothing but religion. Who are the Chaldeans? Just for us, represents religion as usual. You know, if you'd asked most of the people in Ur of the Chaldees why they worshipped the moon, probably most of them would not have been able to tell you. They said, well, I don't know, we've always done it this way. That's just tradition, that's religious tradition. I want to ask you, where are you? Are you still in Ur this morning? Where are you today? Are you in Ur? In Ur, Abraham heard a call while he was in Ur, calling him out of that place. And it says Terah took Abraham and Abraham's wife and his nephew Lot and they moved out of that city Ur. And if you in Acts chapter 7 it tells us that really it was Abraham that got that call. I don't know if he went to his father and said, I believe God's speaking to me and I believe we have to get out of this city. I don't know how it happened. We're not told. But they left Ur of the Chaldeans and they traveled something like 550 miles and they reached a city called Haran and they stopped there. And it was short of Canaan because it specifically says they were called out of Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. To Canaan. But they stopped short. You see, Terah had a son called Haran who had died in Ur. Let me ask you a quick, why do people allow death to hold them captive? Why do they allow death to control them? In Hebrews it says that Jesus delivered those all of their lifetimes who were in bondage to the fear of death. Death is the root of all fear. Death is the controlling factor. Every time I listen to almost 9 out of 10 testimonies I hear on this island begins with somebody dying before their time. Why is that? And they always dress it up as if it was God's will for that person to die so they could live. There's only one person that God ever designed to die so that you could live. His name is Jesus Christ. He never brought anybody else to life out of death that he engineered. Did you hear what I said? I said religion doesn't like that, but I'm proclaiming it and declaring it so you can hear it and every religious devil out there can hear it and fall down and acknowledge that my God is a God of life. He's a God of blessing. These testimonies made me angry. You can take every circumstance and turn it into a testimony. That's why I'm not that big a fan of it anymore anyhow. Hallelujah. The people that sit around listening to other people's testimonies are the kind of people that don't know how to make one of their own. It's called third-party religion. It's called religion by proxy. If they ask you where you heard that, tell them I told you. Hallelujah. If they're looking for someone to blame, you can point the finger at me. Hallelujah. I've got somebody bigger than me standing behind me. Hallelujah. Come on. And he says, where'd you learn that? Say, Donnie Stewart said, God told him. Oh, hallelujah. Why do people allow death to control them, to influence them? But we're not called to die. We're called to live. Jesus said, I've come that they may have life. Jesus said this to someone. He said, let the dead bury their dead, but you come and follow me. Oh. Lots of people wish he'd never said that. Lots of people just skip over that. When's the last time you heard a sermon on that one? Let the dead bury their dead. I heard God say that to me many years ago. Let the dead bury their dead. You come and follow me. They want to fuss with their religion and their funerals and everything else. Just leave them to it. You come and follow me. The only place of agreement they can find is round a grave that says that it was God's will that this person died before their time. Then you leave that mess and you follow me. Don't give your amen to that stuff. You come back into the place of blessing, and maybe one day somebody will allow my blessing to flow through you to them. Because that's always been my plan and it's always been my purpose. And if you hang in there long enough, maybe you just might see it fulfilled. I believe it. I'm believing for it. Why do so many of God's precious people get hung up on generational curses that the Word of God says are only effective for 3 to 4 generations? Whereas the same Word tells you that the blessing of God is effective to 1,000 generations. The blessing is the antidote for the curse. Stop fussing about generational curses. Just get into the blessing. Every curse is blown away out of the water. Come on! Generational curse. The Bible says a curse without cause can't even touch you. The only way it can touch you is if you let it touch you. If you start focusing on the curse instead of the blessing. Don't let the bad experiences of your past or the difficulties of your past define your future or where you get stuck. I've seen people over and over again reaching a certain point, reaching their Haran, and they get stuck there because they've allowed something from their past to define their future. A past failure, a bad experience, something that derailed them the last time. But I want to tell you, something that derailed you the last time doesn't have to succeed this time. The gospel of the new covenant includes the good news of healing and deliverance and prosperity. But those who choose not to preach that, or those who stop short of preaching that. Oh, we just preach Jesus. Well, Jesus preached the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God includes healing and deliverance and prosperity and every good thing. We just preach Jesus. Do you know what? It would appear that these people are under no pressure to deliver on the promises of God. Because life goes on. And whatever will be, will be. And whatever happens is the will of your God. But if you stand up here and say God wants to heal you, and it appears that people don't get healed, that's a lot of pressure. Maybe. Hang on now. Because then these same people, and I heard someone give this testimony, and when people give this testimony, everybody, almost everybody gives a big resounding amen, brother. I heard it the other day. Someone said this, and I've heard it said so many times, being a Christian is not easy. And the majority of the church might hear that and say, oh yes, bro, amen. But that's in direct contradiction to what Jesus said. Because he said, my yoke is easy peasy. Now, you listen to someone speak about their life, and then they say, well, but being a Christian is not easy. I think it sounds a lot easier than what you were in before. Hello? Wake up. Smell the coffee. Come on. Stronger the better. If you're going to have coffee, make it worth your while. That's what I say. I've gone from 1 spoon to 2 spoons to 3 spoons. Glory to God, and it's just starting to, I smell a soothing aroma. Glory to God, hallelujah. I discovered if you put 4 spoons in, you can't get the cafeteria thing down. It's just all coffee, there's no room for water. I'm talking about one in me 1 cup job, you know what I'm saying? a yoke is, it makes you feel it. Depends on your definition of easy, you understand. But you know, whatever it is, it's a lot easier than what we were in before. Amen? It's a lot easier than living without His supernatural provision. It's a lot easier than living without healing and prosperity and everything that He's promised in our lives. Let me ask you a question. Where are you this morning? Are you in Haran? Are you stuck in a powerless religious expression of Christianity? Is that where you are? Well, you know the words and you can say the words and all the stuff and you can even sing the songs, and lots of people sing the songs now, but they don't live in the reality. Are you sticking out there for the reality? Are you stuck in Ur? Are you stuck in Haran? Have you come so far? Because Haran was still a place of moon worship. Somehow or other, Terah, I don't know, something pulled on him and he just stayed in Haran. And Abraham, after Terah died, he heard again, Godspeed. It's recorded in Genesis chapter 11, I believe it is. Hallelujah. After his father's death. Let's go to Genesis 12, it is actually. Just read it. A minute. Hallelujah. Genesis 12. Still happy and blessed. Glory to God. Don't get bored. Please don't get bored. This is real stuff. This will take you where God wants you to be. This will cause you to live where He designed for you to live. This will help you to stand when everything around you is falling apart. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you know that Abraham wandered around for years saying something that nobody else could see? I'm the father of a multitude. Clown. He just took what God said. And he stood in what God said. And he proclaimed what God said. But the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family. Verse 1 of Genesis chapter 12. And from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. And who will? Where's the pressure? Where's the responsibility? My yoke is easy. You keep saying it, and God will try and do it. And if the people will let Him, He'll do it. And if they won't let Him do it, there's no condemnation for you in it. Yeah. But you'll keep walking in it. Abraham decided he was going to be blessed even if nobody else got blessed. Come on. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Those who refuse the blessing stay in the curse. That's just the way it is. Because the blessing is the only antidote to the curse. And those who refused the blessing that Abraham had for them stayed in the curse. That's just the way it is. There ain't no more ways about it but two. Nice and simple. Blessing or cursing. Life or death. You choose. So after his father's death, Abraham hears again from God and he's realigned with the blessing to be a blessing. He's realigning with the blessing, the fullness of the blessing that includes salvation for all. Say for all. He said, all of the families shall be blessed. What with healing, with deliverance, with prosperity. All of the realigning with that blessing always involves moving away from religion as usual. That's been the same for as long as anyone can remember. In July 2003, the Lord said this to me. I've got it on my wall behind my desk, behind my seat. The Lord said this. He said, little by little, I have been delivering you from the religion of your forefathers while still holding fast to the God of your forefathers. So that's not dishonoring to your forefather to get closer to his God. And it's not dishonoring to your forefathers to move away from their religion that limited them and hindered them. That's not dishonoring at all. That's honoring. Because what was in their heart was to get as close to that God as you desire to be. Come on. It's the same motivation. I'm trusting that if Jesus tarries and I pass from this life into the nearer presence of the Lord, glory to God, into a bigger, greater manifestation of that life, then my children will be helped beyond some of the religion that I was stuck in. I've already seen it in some areas. Hallelujah. Come on. See, our children were raised in a lot of freedom that we didn't have. a lot of information that we didn't have. And they grew up just to believe God. Hallelujah. Come on. Our desire to obey and to follow the call of God, and the longing that we have to see His kingdom come and His will done, must always exceed. God gave me this many years ago. Must always exceed our misguided, misaligned allegiance to man-made systems, doctrines, institutions, or anything else. You'll get stuck where you have a man, where you still have a misguided, misaligned allegiance to something that's been man-made. Whether it's a system or a doctrine, a denomination, an institution, whatever it is, your desire for God must always be greater than that. Your desire to obey Him and to follow His call. See, the blessing in Abraham's life was designed, and I love this. I just got this yesterday as I was just meditating on this and preparing this message. Where did God send Abraham with the blessing? To Canaan. What happened? Canaan had been cursed. And God sends Abraham down there with a blessing. Ushakababasoko. If you really understood that, you'd be a lot more excited than you are. Kimborama. God always directs the blessing to the place where the curse has been operating. Because it's always on His heart to bless. To redeem, to restore, to reconcile, to realign. That's what's on His heart. Can I share? No, not yet. There's a testimony. I'm looking at Katrina. I'm saying, she's maybe they ain't got the green light yet. I can bring your testimony right now. Bless God, out of a shack. I would fit in here just like, whoa. If you thought that one in the video was good, this one tops it. Similar, very similar, very similar. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See, the blessing on Abraham's life was designed to ultimately bless the land of Canaan that was cursed, because that is the power of the blessing. You know, even Abraham's nephew Lot, he chose, he had an opportunity to choose at one point, and he chose what he supposed to be an easier life. But what actually happened was it moved him out of direct alignment with the blessing, because Abraham was his place of alignment with the blessing. Do you understand that? And sometimes we allow circumstances to move us out of the place of alignment that God has ordained for us. And it moved him out of direct alignment with the blessing and left him. But thank God it didn't leave him hopeless or helpless. It left him at the mercy of Abraham. And from that day on, Abraham's blessing of Lot had to become intentional. Whereas before it was automatic because he was in possession. But as soon as he moved out of possession, it had to become an intentional thing for Abraham to bless him. Amen. And God knew Abraham's heart, and God knew he could trust Abraham. And when it came time for Sodom and Gomorrah to be judged, he said, I can't do anything about this situation until I share it first of all with Abraham. And Abraham immediately enters into intercession. Before that, he went and he rescued Lot when the kings of Sodom and had been taken captive by the enemies. And he went in and he rescued them. Remember, with his 318 trained servants, bless God, who had been trained and born in his own house. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Abraham wandered around for a long time. He didn't have a big church. But he had a lot of blessing. Come on. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's not what you see around you. It's what you know that God will do if you stand strong and faithful. Hallelujah. Don't ever let what you see change anything about what you believe. Because what you see is not what determines what you believe. What you believe is what determines what you see. Religion turns it around. Glory to God. I've seen so many people being sucked off and siphoned off because they went by what they could see. And they move out of the place of alignment, and they move out of the place of blessing, and they're no longer strong in the message that makes them immune to every effect of the curse. And you see the curse creeping in again. And nibbling away and eating away and eroding away the life that God intended them to live, the blessing that He intended them to walk in. Come on, Abraham left 10-20 room house with plumbing for a tent. But he was a lot more blessed in the tent than he'd ever been in that house. Come on! Come on! Hallelujah! You apply that to a lot of places in your life, you'll start rejoicing over things you've been fretting about. You'll find yourself shouting and proclaiming God's goodness over things that you were complaining about before. Hallelujah. Abraham rescues Lot when he's taken captive. He intercedes for Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord shares his heart with Abraham because he knows, I could tell you things that God shared with me about this town that I can't share with you because they're too dramatic and some of you wouldn't even be able to take them. But I tell you, God showed me things. He allowed me to see things. I thought, why did you let me see that? He said, I'll show you why. And then he would explain it. And I saw things. I saw things change in the religion of this town in such dramatic ways that brought the curse in and allowed the curse in to steal, kill, and destroy that should never have happened. And the Lord let me see that. Why? Because he said, if you stand strong, we'll be able to get the blessing back. We'll be able to get the blessing back that'll remove all of that curse. If you'll just stay strong and stand strong and keep declaring and proclaiming and will not move from this message, then you will be able to get the blessing back. Our blessing of others who are out of alignment must always be intentional. If they refuse to come into alignment, then our blessing of them must become intentional, deliberate, or on purpose. We have a choice every time to love, to bless, to do good, and to pray. We must make that right choice. To love those who declare themselves to be our enemies. To bless those who curse us. It's an intentional blessing until they come into the place of alignment and God's blessing can flow to them like it flows to us. We must choose intentionally to bless those who curse us. To do good to those who declare their hatred of us. To pray for those who persecute us and spitefully use us. We need to choose intentionally to pray for them that God's blessing would connect with them. I might go back to this evening, but the only enemy of love and the only blocker of the blessing is fear. If you can't love your enemies because there's a bit of fear in there, but I'll just leave that. I'll come back to that. I was in that place of worship this morning, the Lord was just downloading something to me for this evening because Katrina wouldn't preach, and so. That's the truth. Do you know where I would be without this woman? I can't tell you. I don't have an answer to that question. But I tell you what, sometimes I just lie in bed, cozy up, and I say, she doesn't really snore as loud as me, but there's a wee gentle, I can just hear her breathing, and I say, thank you, Father, for this woman. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. She thinks, what's we stopped there? And one day, because I heard the prophetic word, and the gifts of calling of God are without repentance are irrevocable, and one day she'll get up behind here, and you'll be so blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. And she's done it a few times, and every time she's done it, you've been blessed. Hallelujah. And I'm just going to keep declaring and speaking it out, and you're going to join me and say amen, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's hard to love if you're afraid of your enemies. Let me just say that this morning. Say this evening. It's hard to love if you're afraid of your enemies. Don't ever be afraid of your enemies. You won't be able to love them. It's hard to bless if you're afraid of the curse. If you think the people's curses on you can be effective in your life, it's hard to bless because you're afraid of the curse. It's hard to do good if you're afraid of the power of hate. I tell you that goodness is greater than hate. God's power is always greater than the power of the enemy. Jesus said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. Of hatred and of curses and of everything else, of persecution. It's hard to pray if you're afraid of persecution. But see, Abraham's choices released in him the potential to see all of the families of the earth blessed? Do you believe that you have the potential to see all of the families of the earth blessed? That you can be a part of that? That through you, God can reach the whole, all of the families of the earth? Do you believe that? Let's stand up together. Well, I don't know how long we've gone, probably a wee while, but just, we'll wind up in a few minutes. We're speaking about, and this message is, God says, where are you? Are you still in Ur? Are you in your Haran? Or are you back in that place of alignment? And if you're not, then this morning, let's come back into that place. Let's come into that place of realizing our potential, that through us, through our walk of faith, through our declaration of God's goodness, through our belief in the blessing, refusing to be moved from our faith in God's blessing that always comes to do good. That we're willing to leave even our misguided, misaligned allegiances to things that have held us captive. We came out so far and then we got stuck in our Haran. Well, it's time to abandon your Haran. Are you in our religion as usual? Are you in Haran halfway out but stuck in the prison of past failures or past experiences or past indoctrination? Or are you living in the fullness of the blessing that's flowing to you and has the potential to bless everyone who aligns themselves with you or those who you take responsibility to bless intentionally, on purpose and deliberately? See, God never changes his mind about the people he calls. He never decides to take back the blessings that he has given and the scripture declares. Right now he's longing to show himself strong. The word of God says it on behalf of those who respond to his call to realignment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think we just need to simply, as we close this morning, let's pray the prayer of alignment that Jesus gave us. And let's allow it not just to be something that falls off our lips in religion as usual, but let it become that which he designed it to be, a prayer that kept us in the place where God's blessing flows to us and through us. And if there's any readjustments that need to be made, allow God to respond to our prayer this morning by bringing that alignment. But if we need to move, then we move. And we realize and we understand that even if there's sickness in your body this morning, this blessing, this prayer will release what you need to deal with that sickness. This prayer that you pray this morning will release what is needed to deal with oppression and fear and anxiety and stress, and will release everything that you need to bring you into a new place of freedom from everything that has released manifestation.